Nathan Fraser Show, episode number 106, PayPal cuts ties with Alex Jones. All right, here we go.
Mixing business with politics. This is the Nathan Fraser Show.
What is up, Free Market Squad, and the place to be? It's your boy, Nathan Fraser, High Priest of Propaganda. Thank you for taking a little bit of time out of your week to hang with me. I am, of course, the High Priest of Propaganda over at the Free Market Squad. You, of course, are the Free Market Squad, and welcome to another episode of the podcast. Today, we're going to be talking about Alex Jones getting cut from PayPal, and yeah, Alex Jones is in the news a lot. He's been kicked off of pretty much everywhere lately. At first, it was like PayPal and Twitter were the only two people that still allowed him on their network. He's been kicked off of Twitter. Now today, he got kicked off of PayPal. I think he might still have his MailChimp account. I'm not sure. But he's pretty much been digitally unpersoned from the internet. And we're going to be talking about why this should matter to you, both as an activist, because I know I have a lot of activists, political activists in the audience, but more importantly, as a business owner, because I have a lot more business owners in the audience as well. So we're going to be talking about both of those, why you should care about what they're doing to Alex Jones, even if you don't like Alex Jones, because I'm going to be frank, I don't really like Alex Jones. I'm going to stop being Nathan for a minute. I'm going to be frank. I think Alex Jones is a pompous douchebag. I think he's just about as accurate as CNN or MSNBC. I think that he's just as biased as them. I think that he lies just as frequently. He's accurately referred to as fake news just as frequently as mainstream media is. I don't think he's any better than mainstream media. I'm not a fan. Ever since the whole John Bush incident happened, and you can go look that up on YouTube. Ever since he got caught lying about that whole incident, I've had I've taken everything he says with a grain of salt. That being said, and again, I think he's a showman. He's a marketer. He's got a niche. He knows his audience. He knows the villains of his audience. He knows the virtues of his audience. He plays to those two things, and he sells them shit. He sells them water filters. He sells them super beta vitality, male vitality, whatever. I don't know. I don't buy his stuff. Tangy tangerine, chocolate flavored bone marrow soup. I don't know. He sells a lot of stuff. He's a humble Berkey water filtration salesperson from Texas. And he's done quite well for himself. He's capitalized off of the fear of his audience. He's used it to majorly monetize his work. And I really can't hate on him for that. It's business, man. And he's a businessman. Other than his business practices, I'm going to say that a majority of the other stuff about him, I don't really like. But that's just my personal opinion. But I don't like what I'm seeing going on with him. And it is because I am a business person. And it's because I'm a business person who's not the mild-mannered business person. I'm not the business person, the professional guy who is afraid to express his opinions on the internet. That's definitely not me. What's the point of having money? What's the point of having success if you're not free to express yourself? The point of starting your own business, the point of getting that freedom, is so that you don't have to worry about about being honest and being true to your own values, and having to worry about somebody fire you because your values don't match with theirs, or don't match with the customers, or don't match with somebody else's. A big part of having financial freedom is because we're people who value freedom. A big part of being an entrepreneur is you're somebody who likes. You like to be your own boss. You like freedom, and you don't want to be censored and held back on what you can say on the internet. I mean, and again, maybe some things are stupid to say. Again, Alex Jones knows his audience. He knows his customer base, and what he does is in line with their virtues, with their villains, and so he gets away with it. And he plays it up, and he does a little bit of method acting, and he's a character, definitely. But he's a businessman. When it comes down to it, at the end of the day, he's a businessman. Okay, that's my beginning rant. That's how I feel about him in a nutshell. look, this is Alex Jones in a nutshell. That's pretty much how I feel about him. Now, to today's news, PayPal cuts off Alex Jones's InfoWars, joining other tech giants. I'm going to read from a New York Times article real quick. It says, PayPal has become the latest tech giant to cut off InfoWars, the conspiracy website run by the right-wing provocateur Alex Jones. InfoWars was informed by PayPal on Thursday night that it would have 10 business days to find a new payment processor. PayPal handles all transactions, including credit cards, for the InfoWars online store. The store has been a significant source of revenue for the company, selling vitamins and nutritional supplements, as well as InfoWars branded apparel. PayPal has also handled donations that InfoWars receives from its supporters. PayPal acted weeks after Twitter, Facebook, and other large tech companies blocked InfoWars from their services. Most of these companies said the site had violated their policies by promoting hate speech and misinformation. Now, misinformation, I could see that. I'm going to say that I don't think that Alex Jones is always incredibly accurate on his reporting. I think that he definitely is hyperbolic a lot of times on his reporting. Now, is he any more hyperbolic than CNN? Is he any more hyperbolic or any more inaccurate than Fox News or MSNBC? Nah. In my opinion, anything that you could throw at Alex Jones as far as spreading misinformation is absolutely accurately applied equally to mainstream media. Mainstream media is just as bad. Now, PayPal said that its decision was not because of any policy violation, but because InfoWars' promotion of hate and discrimination runs counter to our core value of inclusion. Now, I'm not sure that I don't follow Alex Jones religiously, but I do keep an eye on what he's doing. I don't think that he promotes hate, and I don't think that he promotes discrimination. I really honestly don't. And again, I'm not a fan of him, but I think that this accusation against him is just bullshit. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe if you can link some stuff in the comment section of this episode, you can prove me wrong. But as far as I've seen, and again, I don't follow him religiously, but as far as I've seen, I don't see him promoting hate and discrimination. I think that that's a straw man of Alex Jones that they're attacking. Continuing, our values are the foundations for the decision we made this week. The aggressive steps against InfoWars have become fodder for claims that Silicon Valley companies are biased against conservative voices. And I agree with this 100%. And again, I'm not a conservative. I actually, for the most part, on most social issues, I lean to the left. On financial issues and on pretty much on financial issues exclusively, I lean towards the right, but on pretty much everything else, I lean towards the left. And I'm 100%, as somebody who leans more to the left than to the right, I'm going to say it's blatantly obvious that Silicon Valley has a major bias against conservative voices. An opinion expressed by President Trump and a number of Republican officials, Jeff Sessions, the United States Attorney General, plans to meet with Republican state attorneys general next week to discuss the tech industry, competition, and free speech. And again, you know, here's the thing. Right now, I'm going to divert a little bit. Right now, there's this big conversation about should government get involved to guarantee free speech? Should government step in the way of these giant tech companies who are censoring us? And should government come in and start regulating these businesses to guarantee our free speech? Government has attacked free speech in the past. Government has had Facebook take down people's posts. Government has the government has reached out to social media networks and said, hey, delete this person's profile. And the social media agencies complied. Government is not the defender of free speech, so I don't see how letting government regulate Facebook, Twitter, PayPal, whatever these institutions are, I don't see how it's going to be putting one bully in charge of protecting you from the other bully. I don't see that as a viable solution. Maybe I'm missing something. So anyways, I'm going to skip a little bit of this. It says that after the phase out period of 10 days, 10 business days, PayPal will stop doing any business with InfoWars and its subsidiaries like the site Prison Planet, said a PayPal spokesman. Now, I'm gonna go through a couple of things of why this should matter to you. First of all, Alex Jones is the canary in the coal mine, in my opinion. And I think that if they can get, and they've already pretty much got away with this, I think that he's not going to be the last. I think that he's just going to be the first. I think he was a test run, and they're going to start going after less sensational people next. I think they're going to start going after people like Steven Crowder. They're going to start going after people like Stefan Molyneux. They're going to start going after people like Tom Woods. They're going to start going after people that pretty much anybody who's right of Karl Marx, in my opinion, is considered an alt-right Nazi nowadays by the people that run these companies. And I think that they're going to start going after everybody that isn't a bootlicking leftist authoritarian. And so, again, I say that as somebody who leans left on a lot of social or on a lot of social issues, but also as somebody who is well aware of the fact that the left has become completely authoritarian over the last 8 to 10 years, and over the last 2 years especially, they've just gone over the deep end with censorship and bully tactics, and so much to the point where I don't even like admitting that I lean to the left on social issues anymore, because I'm disgusted at what they have become over the last couple of years. Now, why does this matter to you? I'm gonna jump to another article that was released a couple of days ago. This is about Apple creating a trust score. So like Facebook, Apple wants to create a trust score about you. And this is from The Motley Fool. The last article I read was from the New York Times. This one's from The Motley Fool. It says, in its effort to combat fake news, social media conglomerate Facebook uses a system that rates the trustworthiness of its users, according to a bombshell report from the Washington Post last month. While Facebook has good intentions, it's trying to recognize malicious actors on its platform. The revelation didn't sit well with its users and immediately drew criticism. Facebook denied that it has an overreaching trustworthy system or trustworthiness system, and argued that it primarily uses a system in an effort to identify bad actors that are trying to game the algorithms. Now, as somebody who's a marketer, I am well adept in gaming the algorithms. You can check out my Facebook feed and you can see that I know what I'm doing when it comes to gaming the algorithms. As somebody who's also runs a software as a service, I can see why they would not want people to game the algorithms. I would see why they would want to put in fail safes to prevent people from gaming the algorithms, from preventing people like me from being able to spread my propaganda. I can totally get that. I don't hate on them for it, but having trustworthiness as part of your score is a little bit scary to me. I'm going to read on. And again, I'm going to defend Apple in this, but I'm going to play devil's advocate a little bit. So, computing a device's trust score. VentureBeat reports that Apple has made a subtle change to its terms and conditions after releasing a major software update to several of its operating systems this week. The new section includes, in its privacy policy, details a device trust score that Apple calculates and uses, quote, to help identify and prevent fraud. Information about how you use your device, including the approximate number of phone calls or emails you send and receive, will be used to compute a device trust score when you attempt a purchase. The submissions are designed so Apple cannot learn the real values on your device. The scores are stored for a fixed time on our server. It says, it sounds like Apple is trying to identify scammers that spam people with questionable phone calls and emails. Nearly half of all phone calls made in 2019 are expected to be scams, according to a recent study by First Orion. That's a massive spike in fraudulent activity, up from just 4% of calls being scams in 2017. That is a giant increase. I don't know if they're great predictors of the future. What's less clear is how Apple actually uses this device trust score. Will it prevent spammers from making or scammers from making purchases? Will it attempt to stop suspicious activity in question? Will or are the scores tied to only the device and anonymized? Apple could also be trying to crack down on fake app reviews and other suspicious activity on its platform. Now, before I finish reading this, I'm going to say that I totally agree with all of those justifications. If I was running Apple, I would want to monitor that stuff so I could make sure that people weren't using our devices to spam and scam and rip people off. Just part of running a business, you want to make it difficult for people to exploit your service in order to hurt other people. I don't know if Apple really holds that same value that I do, but that makes sense from a public relations point of view. That makes sense. Now it says Apple has made privacy a strategic battleground, staunchly defending its users' privacy. It's differentiated itself from many of the tech giants' peers that offer ad-supported online services. The Mac maker even recently took down a VPN app that Facebook was using to spy on users. Again, hold on one second. I'll get back to that thought. Given its hardline stance on privacy, Apple probably has more goodwill here than Facebook, which has been plagued with or by seemingly endless string of privacy and data practice scandals. Users may be relatively more amenable to Apple compiling a trust score in its effort to mitigate fraud compared to Facebook, which was ranked as the least trusted major tech company earlier this year in a SurveyMonkey Recode survey. A separate Reuters poll had similar results. We'll just have to wait and see if Apple faces any backlash from its loyal user base, but this seems unlikely. Facebook's problems have raised awareness of privacy costs, but most people simply don't care that much about it. Now, why does any of this matter? What does it have to do with Alex Jones? So here's the deal. Having Facebook keep track of who's trustworthy and not, and having Apple keep track of who's trustworthy and not, I'm going to take that. I'm going to put it on the back burner. I'm going to go to one more article that was released this week. This is the Alternative Influence Network. Now, this right here is an article or a PDF or a paper that was released talking about how YouTube has become a hive of white supremacists, white nationalist recruiting people, and they released this crazy. You've probably seen the meme of the guy from It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia, where he's got all these different pictures on the board and he's got pieces of yarn from one person to the next person to the next person. And he looks like he's totally bugged out of his mind, needs a tinfoil hat on, and he's totally the crazy conspiracy theorist person. Well, that's exactly what this article does, talking about the Alternative Influence Network. They're talking about how people like some black guy and that guy T, and I think that who else was on here? I can't remember who it was. Tons of people, Candace Owens, a bunch of people who are black are now a Tree of Logic. A bunch of people who are black are now apparently white supremacists because they're thrown into this network of other people like Lana Lochteff and who else? Richard Spencer and Andy Worski and Baked Alaska and Paul Joseph Watson and Mike Cernovich and all of these people. So all of these people, Tim Pool, all of these people are apparently Blair White, who's a transsexual. All of these people are apparently white supremacists, bigots, transphobes, homophobes. People that are racist, people that are alt-right Nazis, and because they're linked together, because they've interviewed each other on YouTube, because they've referenced each other's work on YouTube, which James Alsup is another one. Jordan Peterson is another one. Chris Reagan is another one. Dave Rubin is another one. Some of these people, Ben Shapiro is another one. Some of these people, here's the deal. A lot of these people aren't even right-leaning. A lot of these people are centrists or they are left-leaning, but not as far left as the left in general has gone nowadays. These people are constantly attacked in mainstream media. These people, because they are willing to have honest conversations with people like Richard Spencer. Richard Spencer has been on Andy Worski's show. He's talked to people like, I don't really follow Richard Spencer, so I can't really name all the people that he's talked to, but I know that some of these people have had conversations with him. They've got, Carl Benjamin, Sargon of Akkad. He had a debate with Richard Spencer, and they said that Richard Spencer was supporting his ideas, even though the entire debate, Richard Spencer was Carl Benjamin Sargon of Akkad was bashing on Richard Spencer's ideas the whole time. They've still tied Sargon of Akkad and said he's a supporter of Richard Spencer. All of this right here, this tying everybody together, if you talk to this person, now you're immediately lumped in with this person. If you're willing to give this person a platform to debate them, to talk to them in any way whatsoever, you're automatically lumped in with this person. This is what they're doing with social media now. They're saying if you're friends with this person, you co-sign what they're saying. If you, if your brother's girlfriend has a barber who had a phone call last week with somebody who represented somebody in a court case because they got busted for a speeding ticket, and the cop that pulled them over was having an affair with another lady who was actually a coke dealer who she was getting her coke from an alt-right Nazi, that means you must also be an alt-right Nazi. That's what they're doing here. This guilt by association, this crazy, you interviewed Baked Alaska, who also did a show one time with Chris Reagan, who also did a show one time with Tommy Robinson, who has been talked about in the same article as Richard Spencer. Therefore, you're Richard Spencer. Like, that's where this is ultimately coming to. Now, what does that mean as a business owner? So, you know what? Actually, before I get to that, I'm going to go to one more thing. So I'm building my case here. Number one, Apple is, and Facebook is building a trust score on all of their users. Who's trustworthy? Who's not trustworthy? We're seeing these alternative influence network, this idea of anybody who's connected to anybody else, even if it's by six different degrees, you're still guilty by association with that person. So we're building a trust score on Apple. We're building a trust score on Facebook. We're implementing guilt by association, even if it's 6 degrees of association. Now, if you're not familiar, China has something that they're working on right now called the social credit system. It's a spinoff of Alibaba and the Sesame credit score system. They're working on something called the social credit score, and this is going to be a nationwide reputation system that's going to be used by the Chinese government to rank its own citizens, to rank them off of trustworthiness, but also to rank them off of social reputation, to rank them off of conformity, to say, is this a good citizen or is this a bad citizen? Now, here's the problem with this social credit system. Some of the things that they're planning on using this for, they're planning on, and it's going to be tied in with the social media. It's going to be tied in with your public library card. It's going to be tied in with some of the other things that they're going to say. It's going to be tied in with how many hours a day you play video games. It's going to be tied into how positive you appear on social media. It's going to be tied into what types of stuff you share on social media. And we're already seeing this also over here with Facebook and their whole trust score being based partially off of what types of things do you share? What types of comments do you leave? What types of links do you link out to? All of that stuff is being taken into account by Facebook to judge whether you're trustworthy or not. Well, China's already implementing something like this on more than just a social media level, on a societal level. And so if you have late library books. If you post something on social media that goes against what the party is trying to say, if you play video games for too much, your social credit score goes down. And when your social credit score goes down, you face things like having a travel ban. You won't be able to fly. You won't be able to get passports to fly. You won't be able to take the high-speed trains. People have already been denied for this because they've been blacklisted because of the beta testing of the social media score. Business Insider recently did a story about this. You could be excluded from private schools. You can have your social status can be posted on other social media platforms. And they're saying that this will be voluntary, of course, but everything's always voluntary at the beginning. And then as it becomes accepted, the voluntary aspect of it is less emphasized. Now here's the other thing. This is the other crazy thing about this. And again, it's not completely implemented. They're saying by 2020, they want to have this completely implemented. So, by, I think May 1st of 2018 was when some of the original things started happening. By 2020, they want to have this fully implemented. And they're saying that not only does your activity affect your social credit score, the people you're connected to, their activity affects your social credit score. If you're friends with somebody who's constantly posting conspiracy theories on their Facebook page or whatever China's equivalent of Facebook is, your social credit score goes down. If you're associated with, if you dated somebody who has bad credit, that affects your credit. If you've dated somebody who openly speaks out against the government, which not very many people are stupid enough to do in China, that affects you. You might be black banned in the middle of the night as well. If your brother doesn't post the correct opinions on his social media account, you might be denied a plane ticket to fly to the other side of China to visit family. If your girlfriend or your boyfriend posts something that isn't politically correct to what China's society deems as politically correct, you might lose your ability to get a loan, your ability to go to college, your ability to send your kids to private school. You could lose benefits off of what your social credit score is, off of the people that you associate with. Bringing us back to the alternative influence network, this idea that you are now held responsible for the actions of people that you might be related to through 6 degrees of separation. Bringing us back to the fact that Apple and Facebook are now both implementing trust scores in their users. And we've known for a long time, at least maybe not Apple, but at least Facebook is also a huge collector of data, finding out who you're communicating with, what type of stuff you're sharing with these people, what type of stuff they're sharing back with you, what type of relationships you have with these people. Facebook has been cataloging that information since day one, and they've got just libraries full of that information on you, and now they're starting to implement a trust score. How long until this trust score system is merged with the alternative influence system and starts to take on aspects of the social credit system from China, to the point where you might get cut off from your payments processor like Alex Jones has seen? How long until something that you posted on Facebook gets you cut off of PayPal, gets it to where you're not able to accept payments on your website, makes it to where your Facebook account is deleted, makes it to where your all of your social media, all of your YouTube, all of your content marketing is deleted. Now, I'm going to say this. I'm just waiting for the other shoe to drop. I'm waiting for the people who host Alex Jones's website, the people that run the server that InfoWars is at, I'm waiting for them to say, you know what, we're just not going to host your website anymore. And they'll just completely unperson him from the internet, completely remove him from the internet. I'm waiting for that to happen. I don't see it as being very far off. And if they can do it to him, like I said, in my opinion, he's not a racist, bigoted hate monger. He says some things that piss off ultra left people. He says that trans people aren't really the opposite gender of what they say they are or what they were born as. He says that the government should enforce its borders. He says that Muslims have a tendency to be the most common people that have or behind terrorist attacks. Now, all of these things might be offensive, but none of them are factually wrong. And I just lost all PayPal just cut my ability to collect payments. Most of these things are debatable statistically. A lot of these things are just facts. It is the way that it is. And he said, and when it comes to like things like the border, myself personally, I'm not a big fan of borders. I don't want a wall being built on the southern border, but it is the law. And if somebody's going to advocate that the law be enforced, how are you going to say that that's hate speech? But that's where we've come to. Now, here's the deal. And this is why I say this affects you. As a business owner, at least financially, you probably lean a little bit to the right. I have a lot of my customers actually lean a lot further to the right than I do. I have clients and customers that are veterans that are very much pro-military. Again, I'm not really pro-military. I have a lot of beef with the way that our military has a lot of room for improvement. I have a lot of clients and customers that are very much pro-military. I have a lot of clients and customers that are very much pro closed borders. I have a lot of clients and customers that lean way further right than I do on a lot of social issues. That's okay. They're allowed to have their opinions. That doesn't make them Nazis. But now we live in a world where if Alex Jones has Tommy Robinson on, all of a sudden Alex Jones is guilty of having all the same opinions that Tommy Robinson does. If Alex Jones has Paul Joseph Watson on and Paul Joseph Watson has an interview with Sargon of Akkad and Sargon of Akkad has a debate with Richard Spencer, all of a sudden Alex Jones is Richard Spencer. That's where we're at nowadays. And by having these 6 degrees of separation, being able to be tied back to you, and you can lose your Facebook, you can lose your Twitter, you can lose your social media, you can lose your YouTube, you can lose your PayPal account, you can lose your payment processing. It's getting to the point now where anybody who's not in lockstep with the socialist left, which is the majority of business owners are not in lockstep with the socialist left nowadays, you're basically a target. They've done this to Alex Jones. They know that they can get away with it. He was the camel's nose in the tent. He was the canary in the coal mine. They figured out that they can get away with it. They're going to start going after other people next. They're going to start going after Steven Crowder. They're going to start going after Gavin McGinnis. They're going to start going after people like Mundane Matt. They're going to start going after people who are not really controversial at all. Tim Pool was listed on this alternative influencer network. Tim Pool is definitely a leftist. He's a Bernie Sanders supporter, but he's not as far left as a lot of the people that are pushing these identity politics. A lot of the people that are pushing this, everyone's a Nazi, everyone's a bigot, everyone's hate speech. And we're just going to have to see. I am not very hopeful for where this is going to end up going in the very near future. Business owners are going to be under attack, and they're going to be using the same tactics that they used to get Alex Jones completely deplatformed because they saw it worked. They're going to start using these same things to go after much more moderate people, much more less hyperbolic, less extreme people in the very near future. And that could be you. And it's like the old saying goes, first they came for Alex Jones, but I didn't stand up for him because I wasn't Alex Jones. And then they came for Steven Crowder, and I didn't stand up for him. I was silent because I wasn't Steven Crowder. Then they came for Milo Yiannopoulos, and I didn't stand up for him because I wasn't Milo Yiannopoulos. And then they came for me. There was nobody left to stand up for me. My name's Nathan Frazier. Let me know what you think in the comments for this episode down below. I want to know your opinion. Make sure you're subscribed to my podcast. I'm out of here. Deuces. Yeah.
Here's one thing a lot of business owners have to learn the hard way, and I want to help you save yourself some trouble, as does Nathan Frazier. And that is, it doesn't matter what you sell, because if you don't focus on how to sell it, you probably won't be selling very much of it. Sales are the fuel of any successful business, and if you want to keep your tank full, you need to check out Nathan's website at copyandfunnels.com.